Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Unfiltered Bride. If you are watching on YouTube, you will see that we're actually sat near each other, like we like each other. And the only way we would do that is if we've got a banging guest on. Should we tell them who it is? Let's let you guess.
So, wait, we need clues.
Okay. Musical genius.
Oh, you're strong.
Yeah.
You're bigging them up.
Cool AF.
Yeah, but that's not cool to say cool AF. Not? No, cool
as fuck.
That's
right,
like
cool
not down
fuck.
With the kids.
Cool as fuck. He's someone that you've banged on about for ages.
I thought you were going to say something else then, because I was like, that is not correct.
What you do in your spare time. And we're just very excited to have him on. Roll the intro, Brian.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be upstanding and welcome the Unfiltered Bride podcast. Tips from the top table and beyond, so you know it's going to be juicy. Go on, just tell us who it is.
So we have joining us sack sensation and owner of 615, Dax.
Woo! Hey girls, how are you? You okay?
Now we need more than that. You
also known as the mad crazy man from Manchester, I think we described
I will
previously.
Take that as the most crazy introduction anybody's ever given me.
Good.
So we'll go with that.
Was I uncool for saying cool AF? Is that not cool?
It was a little bit
I always say I am
uncool.
The cooler one.
I'm like full mum vibes. That's my persona, and yours is you think you're way cooler than I am. I'm cool on a night though. No? Okay.
moving swiftly on.
So, Dax, for anyone that doesn't know you, give everyone like the spiel. Tell us who you are, what you do, all of that.
So my name is Dax.
Is that your real name?
No.
What's your real name?
Do you really want to know? Do you really want to know?
It's gonna be like John.
I reckon his name's Ben.
No.
What's his name? What do you reckon?
It's really boring. Daniel.
I knew that actually. I knew that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Did you know?
Yeah, I did know okay. that. I think one of the girls told me.
He's like trying to hide his real identity.
Because mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think I asked him where
alter
Dax
ego.
Came from. Because I was like, how does that rhyme
it was
with Sax?
Daniel and Sax and
yeah.
That. I see what you did there.
It became a thing.
He said he was not. He was cool as well. Now that's
now you don't
my cool factors now.
Welcome to my area.
Yeah. So my name's Dax. I am a sax player. Thank you for having me on today's podcast. Massive fan. And I own a company called 615, and we produce entertainment concepts for weddings, DJ entertainment, live entertainment, bands, and everything really cool. So
nice.
Yeah,
nice.
That's kind of us. And as you said, I'm a sax player myself. And that's how I started the business 10 years ago.
Yeah. So when did you start playing sax?
When I was 7 years old. Which
how?
Is
I always, we laugh about this, right? In a non-offensive way.
Yeah.
We always are like, the kids that were like forced into playing the saxophone when they were younger.
Were you in band club?
Were like not as, maybe not as cool at school, but now they're like, they've overtaken all the cool kids at school.
I was that kid. For sure, I was
he
that
was
kid.
Daniel.
Yeah, it was Daniel. We did band club.
Did you have braces?
The whole thing.
You've got perfect teeth, I bet you did have braces.
I didn't have braces.
Are your teeth just like that?
No.
Oh,
no, they are not. But yeah, 7 years old.
Little Daniel.
Yeah, little Daniel.
Are we
glasses.
Picture?
Glasses.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Did
yeah.
you have to get the school bus as well with your big saxophone?
Yeah, the lot. Yeah.
Big rock soul.
And that was it, really. However, it wasn't forced by my parents. It was genuinely a passion
mm-hmm.
thing.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
Who did you hear playing sax then that made you go, I want to play sax?
Do you know what? I have no idea. But I wanted to just play a musical instrument, and it just everybody did the obvious. It was clarinet, there was the piano, there was the all, and sax was always something that you progressed onto.
Okay.
And I just
went
straight there.
You're very lucky that sax got sexy.
Yeah.
Daniel got sexy.
Yeah, but you can see him there on his clarinet. He didn't quite do it.
I'll take that. But yeah, 7 years old. And did all the usual bands, grades, all that type of thing. So yeah, like it was a long time ago.
Did you do anything else?
Yeah, what jobs have you had?
What jobs have you had?
Oh, loads. I did Saturday jobs at B&Q.
Yeah.
Hey, that was always a cool place to work because they paid you more than anyone else
did. Listen, I got paid really well at the time. Buzzing. I went to university.
What did you do?
Law degree.
Ooh. Did you?
Daniel was
trying to be big boy.
Daniel was trying to do something totally different. Yeah. Hated it.
Dan, lawyer.
Completely hated it. And then went and did the degree, got working for a legal firm, hated every minute of it, and then just picked my saxophone up again because I didn't play at all at university. I literally stopped completely. And then the whole Ibiza sax thing started to become a little bit of a thing in Ibiza. And I have always been into my house music and all that type of thing, probably more about the music than playing the sax. And then I just started picking up again and just got a few gigs at the weekend, and it kind of...
How did you get that first gig though?
It was... How did I get the first gig?
All I can imagine is little Daniel who's got glasses.
I can imagine Daniel's poor parents.
I feel like I was a little bit cooler. Little bit cooler at the age of 21. Little bit.
Wait, what were you known as then? Were you Dan then?
Then I wasn't seven. It progressed into Dan. Danny.
Yeah,
was it Danny? I'm not entirely sure it was.
He's going to be a lawyer. I'm so proud. Oh, he's got the saxophone again.
Yeah. No, we'll stick with Daniel. We'll stick with Daniel. So I got the first gig at a little place that I lived. It was a little tiny bar. And there was just a DJ playing. And they just wanted a sax player to kind of... They'd seen a few things online. I said, I'll give it a go. Did it for a beer and a packet of crisps.
Nice.
Literally.
Yeah.
Was there for 6 hours all night just working out how to kind of play over the DJ sort of stuff, and I got it really quick. And then there was a super club in Blackpool that asked me to play, which was called The Syndicate, which was like the biggest club in the UK at the time. They asked me to do a gig.
Was that like your breakthrough to you at that point? Was that like, oh my god,
it was a big... At the time, it was a big gig. There were thousands of people in there. I'm shitting myself big time.
What was your performance? Because obviously, I've now seen you perform. What was your kind of performance? Had you found yourself
no,
at that bit? Were you
Dax
at that bit?
No.
Still Daniel
Sax. I think I branded myself Daniel Scott because that's my middle name at the time. So it was going through this whole brand thing that...
Crisis.
The crisis at the time. And then a club booked me. A friend of mine called Danny Howard, Radio 1.
Yeah.
He wasn't on Radio 1 at the time. We did a few gigs.
So sorry.
It was fine.
you can say it's fine. Brian's like fuming.
So yeah, club, gig, went to 1,000 people.
You working as well at this point?
Yeah. So I was working, in a bank at the time, full time in the week, really
I feel
random.
Like
tried to join the dots here.
Yeah, I feel like the person that we booked for this talk.
Law degree.
Yeah.
So, full-time bank you're a job. Smart guy then. You can say you're a smart guy, but you're not just...
I'd go, I'd take that.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, we went for lunch earlier and I left and I was like, he's very clever.
Cool.
Man.
Your business, like.
I'll take that.
That's the first thing I said.
But this is how the suppliers that get here are, it's not just about the music part of it. You've
got
to understand
not.
The business and the connections and the work.
Psychology.
Together. Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Degree, job, saxophone at weekends, tumbleweeded, mad busy.
Yeah.
And then something had to give.
Yeah.
Full-time job, disappeared. Met my business partner in Manchester and 615 became a thing.
So you literally were like, I'm going to quit my job. We're now going to start... Are we starting a band? Is that what you were starting?
What were we starting? I have no idea what we were starting. Actually, we started it because we just wanted to put parties on.
Okay.
But we wanted control over what the party was. So I think initially, maybe it wasn't... We didn't want to be a planner, but we just wanted control over what the party was. And we wanted to bring...
So they would say to you, we want entertainment, and
you go,
we
wanted to bring a club environment to a wedding.
So when you started with your business partner, you were like, we're doing weddings.
Doing weddings, but bringing a cooler edge and if you want to categorize it, a clubby feel into the wedding industry, which at the time there was a lot of more generic concepts DJs, and we were very far over one side. It was a lot cooler, which you saw the other week.
I was going to say, which you wouldn't know.
No, definitely not.
I was like, if you finish that sentence,
I was like, wow, I was like, we're ready now, we've started.
And it was definitely about bringing people from a different world, and by that, talent that worked in club world into
a wedding industry.
Because we thought there was value for wedding, and by its nature, that was a bit disruptive at the time.
Because it is true. Like, if you think about weddings, nobody go, like, you, the people that are getting married go to clubs.
Yeah.
They go, that's where they get their music and the party from. So we're trying to then make a party at a wedding, but using all the wedding people and not the people that we like going out and seeing in a club.
So we just bridged the two, and we were like, that we want to bring that vibe into a wedding, and we didn't think we should categorize it a wedding. And that's why 615 does the wedding after party. We wanted to brand it our way, so it didn't feel like a typical
evening. So this is 10 years ago. So how old are you?
36. Okay. I should have made you guess that, but we had that conversation earlier.
How old do you think we are?
We hate the age game. I'm going to go with...
Who do you think's older?
That's a really bad question. That's a really bad question.
Don't, because if
question.
It goes the wrong way, it's going to absolutely cause... 30
and 32.
Fuck. Which one which?
You.
Which one which? You don't even know, yeah?
30, 32. Have we got it completely wrong?
No, mine's a bang on. You got mine.
Oh, right, okay.
She ain't 30, though. Go lower. I'll give you a clue. Go lower.
He's like 35.
Oh dear. 26.
28.
See, you just recognised that, weren't you?
Not a million miles away.
Not a million miles,
but it was the wrong side.
All she wanted to know is that you knew I was older. That's all she cares
about.
Yeah,
I'm happy.
But we threw him off because my daughter's downstairs and she's 10.
I don't think he played into that consideration,
did
you?
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
That didn't come...
Yes, it did. That's why you thought
it was... Oh, it did.
And you're like, no way you've got a child that old. No way!
Oh my God.
I have a question. Why 6:15?
Ooh.
Really interesting story. My business partner and me, it's his date of birth and my date of birth fused together.
You're a very intelligent man, but these things are just like, here you go, D, Dax, Sax.
I thought it'd be way cooler reason. But...
Yeah, it's really not.
Who's the six?
Me.
And I like the fact that you've spelt that one though, and then the 50. It is cool. Yeah. You're lucky that it's cool.
Do you know what it was? We didn't want a brand that... It needed to mean nothing for it to mean something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we kept, instead of it being, I don't know.
Sax and DJ.
Yeah. Like we wanted it to be something that was completely made up. You know, I wrote down everything that I knew about Tom and everything that I knew about me. Saw 6:15 and we just put it together.
I do love it.
And do you know, if you look at the logo, it's actually 6:15.
Stop it.
Have you twigged that
Wait,
yet?
Hold on.
You know the semi, you know the three-quarter circle? Mm. If you think about a clock,
oh,
six,
that's so cool.
15.
All right, that's clever. You've redeemed your dax.
Today, you've gone from the initial merch to making it cool.
So cool factors going up.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah, you're definitely a
The funniest thing is
now.
He's way cooler than both of us. So.
I don't know.
I'm not entirely sure I agree with that.
Okay, so we've got now a wedding. You want to do weddings?
Yeah.
How did you book like the first weddings? Because I feel like suppliers obviously listen to this as well and they're thinking, how do we get into the industry? Where you have no experience to show weddings.
We had no idea what we were doing. We were a couple of sax... Tom's also a sax player, by the way. Okay. He's my business partner.
Yeah.
He's a sax player.
Who's better?
Oh, we're different.
Who's better?
Tom.
Pussy.
I have seen Tom.
I haven't seen Tom.
Is he
different style?
Yeah.
If it's a Tom, I
doesn't
think it
jump
is.
About. I jump about.
As I say, you're like a Duracell bunny.
Yeah.
Like you were.
Is that him?
That's him.
Everything just always looks so cool, doesn't
it? Your branding, I know that doesn't seem like it's important, but it's very important. Your branding is like bang on.
Yeah.
And I think as couples that look at that are like, they're clearly... You clearly put money into it. You clearly put effort into it. And that shows then that you're like a legit company.
For like, if you look at what the brand's about, it's all about feeling. So when we to delivery of the event, to when you go on the social media, we want you to know it's us.
Yeah.
And we've worked really hard at that kind of brand identity thing from when you land on a 6:15 post,
you
should
know.
Yeah. That was always the kind of thought process with it.
I think that's important though, because I'd look at the brand and be like, yeah, they're cool.
Yeah,
I agree.
Me, I'd be like, because you can only experience you guys when you see you guys.
Yeah.
You can see the videos, you can see that. But I think the brand massively elevates that and matches
and
the
energy. It needs that to make it work, because it's difficult for us to do what you do unless you feel and experience it. And there's a massive difference between the two. You can only get it so far on a video.
How do you describe your bands, because obviously you've got Noir as part of the 6:15.
So 6:15 is a collective of different entertainment concepts. What we are known for is the high energy DJ sax percussion, which is now spawned into different lives with violins. It's about the music and everything that goes into making the concept than about the sax player or it's the whole thing.
And to be clear, you're not, so we have talked previously about wedding band directories.
Yeah.
Where you go on and you find a band.
Yeah.
That's not what you're doing, is it? You're actually creating all of these,
create the concept.
And you put this person in the group and this person with that wedding because you're doing X, Y, Z.
So we start with a blank piece of paper.
Yeah.
And that is how Noir was born.
He says Noir so differently to us.
I remember this from the previous podcast.
Noir.
Is that how we're going to say it?
Say
Noir.
It.
Say Noir.
It. Noir.
No, he definitely said it different the first time around.
Noir.
Noir.
But yeah, we are creating concepts.
Yeah.
And we do have a desire as a brand to be different in every single way, shape or form. We know what is out there in the industry, and every time we produce something, we are producing the music, we are thinking about the brand look, we are thinking about what they're wearing, what the show looks like. It's very curated. So when we looked at Manchester, that has been years and years and years of production and constant creative elevation. It doesn't just happen.
I think you said something really key there. You went, show. What the show looks like.
It's a show.
Yeah.
It's definitely a show.
And having now seen you, I totally agree. And people, like, I feel like that part of the wedding, I even say it to my couples when I leave after the first dance kind of time. And I'm like, enjoy the rest of your night. You're done now, guys. There's no more formalities for them. I've got no more jobs for them to do. They're done. They should now be able to enjoy the show.
Yeah,
they're no longer the show in a nice way. They're still the most important people in the room and blah, blah, blah. But it's so much nicer to go, that's your job now. Make sure everyone has a nice time.
And it's interesting because that's when you look at 6:15 as a disruptor in entertainment, which I think we are, just because of the way we do things.
Yeah.
We do weddings in a different way. We don't follow a normal format. We never did.
What's different?
So take the DJ sax percussion concept, which we are known for. We put the entertainment towards the back end of the evening.
Okay.
A lot later than you would typically do in a normal stereotypical wedding.
Yeah.
Because we want you to cover your formalities first, your cutting of the cake, the first dance. We want to leave that sense of, what's the word?
Excitement to come.
Yeah, like,
are you literally making people stay and wait to see
something? Yeah, we want to that mystery. It's an element of mystery where people don't know there's something coming, but when it comes, it's like, whoa, where was that from?
Yeah.
And that's all part of the engineering of the evening.
Yeah, it's clever because
that's what you said though.
I've had discussions with venues and couples and things all about timings of first dance and stuff. And I get it from a musician and entertainment point of view where you want it as late as possible. For a logistics point of view, I need it earlier because if we're finishing food at 6, the first dance can't be at 9 because what the hell are you doing between that time? But actually you've explained how you can still do first dance earlier, but then just like hit them with it
bang
later.
Literally.
So give me the perfect timings of a wedding for you then. What would you
say? Perfect time. So let's say evening started 7:30.
Yep.
First dance, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Straight into the cutting of the cake.
Yeah.
Bit of dancing.
Yeah.
Evening
so
food.
So just DJ playing.
Yeah, DJ playing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of our opportunity to cover, we still do the cooler stuff, but 80s, Motown, mm-hmm. disco, still credible music.
Yeah.
Not necessarily real DJ-y. Super cheese.
Yeah.
But covering off that, because you've still got a wide range of people yeah. at a wedding.
So do you find that people will still dance to a DJ? Because
yeah.
I feel like that's what people worry about,
yeah.
is they would assume that they need sax on earlier to so people know to stay.
I think it comes down to our background is club
yeah.
talent. And the types of clubs that we've played at in the past, if you're not keeping the dance floor busy, let me tell you, you won't have the gig the following week because you are out, somebody
like
else is
that.
In.
Yeah.
And you've got to know where to take... And that is an experience thing.
Yeah.
So when you're in a venue, that venue is measuring by drink spend over a bar.
Yeah.
Your job as a DJ is to keep people in that venue as long as possible. So the music that you play in is really, really important. So actually we don't struggle with that as much because the talent that we use
yeah.
is all from that world.
Because I think people pitch a wedding DJ as... I immediately, you know, in Love Actually, when they're like, oh, worst DJ in history, if they play Puppy Love Next.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's what people worry about. And some people are like, oh, I just want a DJ because I'm not really fussed on the music.
And a lot of people are like, I'll just send them a playlist. It's like, a DJ's a DJ. Like,
and there are, but there are some DJs that are like that where I would be like, make sure you give them a playlist. But I'm guessing there's
well,
we do
take, like, prior to any event, we always get the client to think about music they love, but we'll always say we'll play it when it's right and if it's
yeah.
right, because if you drop the wrong track at the wrong point and it clears, you've got to work really
yeah.
hard to bring that back.
That's and so it's much pressure. I hate.
But it's a journey as well.
Yeah.
But if you know where to go,
yeah,
like Tango, that you know, like
yeah.
he knows exactly where to move.
And to be fair, was really good at because I requested a song. I like Waka Waka, but
yeah.
he was like, yeah, yeah. Didn't just do the thing where it's the next song.
Yeah.
He waited. And then at some point when I then heard it, I was like,
and that
wrong.
Is that is experience from probably a club
yeah.
background because you're measured by that in
yeah.
that world. So we don't really struggle as much with that, but you still want the involvement from the client.
So what time? So if they had an 8 o'clock first dance, they've started
yeah.
DJ from 8 o'clock. What time are you coming on?
Half nine, between half nine
Ooh,
and
okay.
10. So we go evening food,
yeah.
maybe 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Get that out of the way. Let everybody think that they're going back to a DJ. Then bringing them back into it, 9:30, 10 o'clock, all the way through till midnight, half 12.
I also feel like that's a point where people will start to dip off.
Yeah.
And you did exactly the same at our tour and it's like last trains were happening, X, Y,
yeah.
Z.
Yeah.
And then you were just like...
Nope.
You ain't going home.
That was always the idea behind it. So when we started doing weddings 10 years ago, we came up with that format because we didn't want people to leave.
Yeah, because like at 10 o'clock, it can die a death.
Yeah, that doesn't happen at a 6:15
no.
wedding. It is
up and
going,
up.
It's going somewhere.
So you've come on at 9:30.
Yeah.
Would you then want to be the last song? Do you think you should be ending with entertainment or do you think it should end
no.
with a bit of DJ?
We... Towards the end, probably a little bit of singing hands in the air,
yeah.
cheese, just
yeah,
towards
yeah.
the back end.
I agree.
Yeah. I think it's important. You bring everybody together in a circle with their arms around each other, family, like everybody.
Yeah.
I just think it's a
he
nice
that
way.
Last song. What was the last song? Oh, it's a who's a band from Manchester? It's a very obvious. Is it Oasis?
Yeah.
Was it? Don't, it was
Wonderwall.
Like
was it
that.
Wonderwall?
It might have been Wonderwall, but it might have been... But, it was only afterwards that I thought about it and I was like, oh my God, because he was like, what song
really
do you want
important.
As a last song? And
yeah.
I was like, no, you pick. Nailed it, absolutely nailed it.
How
would
you feel about one more song?
Do you do it? Do
depends who it is. Depends who it is. But yeah,
we
no.
always think if you don't do it, you're mean.
Yeah.
No, we always
cry.
Do it.
Yeah.
But we made them think that we're not going to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And then we do it.
Nice. What about the surprise element?
Yeah, which is so important because... The evening part of a wedding, because we've said there's nothing else happening, it really is all about that entertainment. And if there's
yeah.
not stuff that's like getting them at every
and
bit.
It's not, we went for lunch before here and we
yeah.
were talking about that mystery that, like for us, it was always about showing different cards at different times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We feel that if we've done that too quickly, we have nowhere to
left.
Go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that. I think you said earlier, don't show all your cards at once.
Yeah.
Whereas people
yeah.
want to because they're like, oh no, it's cool now, but it's like the wait is even better.
Because we've kind of talked about this throughout the daytime of a wedding, is to do a little bit of the drink reception and a little bit of the cocktail hour, and like the food is happening, just slow it down and change the vibe. Because a lot of people want like a really nice romantic drinks reception. Like, you wouldn't make sense in a super romantic drinks reception after a church wedding. It's probably not the right thing.
Yeah.
But you can absolutely go to carnage throughout the day. Yeah. Like, change the vibe.
But you do daytime music.
We do daytime
which
music.
Which is cooler than the average
daytime. That's the point. So we curate. So if you look at the daytime acts that we have, we've curated the tracks that they're playing. So we're very hands-on with what's being played, the look of what they're wearing.
So you know to change the vibe throughout the day.
Because we just don't want to be putting things into the wedding market that we know exists.
Or you don't believe in.
Yeah, and that creativity is so important.
So for couples that are like right at the start, because we've talked about this, but you wouldn't be right for every couple, just as all bands aren't right. How do couples know what their style is? Like, I obviously think I'm cooler than I am. Like, what can people, how do they know what they want? Because do you just Google wedding band, wedding sax? Like, what do they want?
It's a really difficult question. I think a bride and groom should try and speak to maybe a handful of people and look at what we call it, a discovery call.
Yeah.
What does that discovery process look like? If it's transactional, so let's say you want a sax player, we'll give you a sax player, but there's no talk about anything else.
Yeah.
For me,
here's
that's transactional. Bang. There's a home for that. But if you go a step further and you're talking about the music style, what does the journey, what's the experience?
But do you do that pre them booking?
Yeah, we cannot.
And you've got no issues with that?
No.
So for someone listening right now,
yes,
how would you describe your like ideal match with a couple? Like, what type of person are they? So I want somebody listening to be like, actually, no, they're perfect. That's me. They're talking to me.
We want people that have got a passion for music.
Okay.
So if, you know, let's talk DJ sax, percussion, we know that's got an affiliation with Ibiza.
Yeah.
So as part of our call with the client, it's quite personal. We don't just talk about the immediate and often getting an understanding of where people go out on nights out, where do they go on holiday. You can start to find, so it's those contextual details that allow you to really, you know, even if it's, I don't know, take me, when I went to university, I went to clubs and I went to watch a DJ and that would be my thing. And 6:15 is a reflection of
my
personality in many ways. You know, and for some people it was bands and going to watch certain bands,
like,
and growing up
pub
with
in the corner that
I think it's digging deeper.
It's good that you said that. Yeah, people look at their weddings and book what they think their wedding to be like, but if you're asking them, no, what are you like?
Yeah,
that's
where
the
magic starts to happen. Yeah. So it's at 6:15 that happens as standard. We do that with everybody. We don't have conversations about noirs, right? Or this, it is a conversation that gets you to that point.
Yeah, I have to ask you a question. So
this sounds serious.
It is quite serious.
It sounds really serious.
It is serious. So I've got a bride that I'm working with at the moment and they're based abroad. She asks a lot of questions. So when we're looking at different suppliers, she sends a massive list of questions. I got no issue with it. She wants to know what she's booking. She wants to know all this information. I've had two suppliers reply and say, I don't think I'm right for them. They're asking too much. And I'm like, how many questions?
I genuinely believe they think it's someone trying to find out what they do, who they are.
Do you reckon? But it's coming from me. And these suppliers are suppliers that I know. It's like me sending you and saying, but I say, look, she's baseball. She's lovely. Like, I genuinely have no idea.
My opinion is if you're going to spend an amount of money,
thank you.
You want to know what it is you're bloody getting.
Because she's come back to me and been like, am I doing something wrong? Because like, they're literally saying, I don't want to work with her. And I'm like, I genuinely don't think you're doing anything wrong at all. No, and I'm like, am I wrong?
At the end of the day, it's an emotional purchase.
Yeah.
It is not, so like, it's different if it's transactional. So if it's literally, this and this.
Yeah.
Price pays and that's it. And yeah. you can do it in 30 seconds. That isn't the type of... But when you're spending
thousands
of pounds,
yeah.
that is an emotional purchase that needs consideration.
Yeah.
We don't do mass numbers of weddings.
Yeah.
Because the service part of it is really important. So actually dedicating that team to that client, all of the, probably 70% of the work is done before the wedding takes yeah. place, mm-hmm. not when we turn up. I literally turn yeah. up for 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's it.
But that's when couples are like, we've cancelled, can we have a deposit back? We're like, no, I've done all the work.
Yeah. But like that process is crucial.
Yeah.
But it's, we were saying earlier that when speaking to clients initially, it's not a, that we have to answer all their questions. We're asking them questions yeah, back. Yeah. And it's like, you have to be vulnerable and show your true self to the client as well. It's a relationship built on trust. Yeah.
I think, I don't know if you agree, but for like planners as well, I think it's a, you're interviewing them as much as the yeah. other way around, because you've got to be able to turn around and go, you're the expert. And I'm at some point, I'm going to say, your idea is crap.
Yeah, yeah. This won't work.
This will
yeah.
not work. And you need to be in a position where you can have that conversation. Somebody goes, yeah. I've hired you for that mm-hmm. expertise.
I trust you.
And I trust you.
yeah.
And if you don't get that right at the beginning, I think it can be a real challenge point.
Yeah, for the whole rest of the time.
And I think that's why we're really particular about customer service and that discovery call. People know that it's not transactional.
Yeah.
They know it's deeper because of the detail that we're going into, which also means they can pick up the phone and ask questions at any point
yeah.
and know that they're going to get
responses
quickly within yeah. 24 hours. You know, we can arrange a call. That service piece is huge.
It's important. But I guess that comes with the price of it.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I don't want to talk figure because it's difficult anyway, because it depends what you book, I think.
Yeah.
But if music isn't massively important to you, no problem.
Absolutely.
Spend a smaller budget on it. Have expectations of then how much like involvement you're going to get with it and how much effort is put in on the day. No shade whatsoever.
Yeah.
If you're, like you said, if music is a passion, put your money there, put your effort there, but it should be responded with by your musicians.
And ultimately, yeah, and that's where we're really particular about talent. We yeah. have to be, for them to work with us as a brand, we've got to be really particular.
Yeah.
Because they have to care about what they do for us to care about we, yeah. you know, it's got to be reciprocated all the way around.
Have you done weddings where it's not, where the vibe, where they shouldn't have booked you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you, how does that feel?
Do you know, what it is?
Please get on the dance floor,
We've had it maybe where people like the idea of the cool thing,
but they're not cool.
But it's not.
Don't look at me.
Actually, I wasn't looking at you. But it actually isn't necessarily. And we've been through the same process. It yeah. happens very, like, not very often at all.
Yeah.
But maybe one does go through the net, because you know what it's like? Recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People can go, you need these guys. We can. And in a way, they can almost be sold, regardless of what that discovery call yeah. looks like. They are
in
booking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, but you've got to remember, every couple is very different.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it doesn't happen often, but
no.
it can happen.
Oh, it makes me cringe for you. But, like,
yeah. I had a client the other day actually ask me about you guys, and I was like, I know her, and I was like, they're perfect for you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if it wasn't, I'd be like,
don't. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah,
can,
yeah.
You can, again, you can have DJ and sax and it not be your energy. Like, there's also some that are a bit more different. And
but yeah, and I think like ours, we think about the music. So like we, for example, the ages, we don't really struggle with ages. You might, that probably sounds a bit bizarre, but we make a lot of the tracks that we play, we'll maybe take a vocal from the 80s and put it over something
yeah,
that's
yeah,
current
yeah.
so that grandma that's 70 on the dance floor still singing the song,
yeah, yeah.
but the track,
is
she
a,
would never listen
the,
to it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's where you get, it's that creativity and ability to do that.
Yeah.
That enables you to do that.
I think there's so much more to it. Like, even just saying that, I think people don't realise that that's what you actually do, and that's what you actually pay for.
Yes.
The expertise of that,
yeah.
instead of just pressing a button, mixing it together, essentially.
So do you write a different set list for every wedding?
Is there even a set list?
No, we have regular creative catch-ups at the
yeah.
office where we talk about intro tracks. What is that? So when we did Manchester,
yeah.
there was a big intro track before we came out.
Yeah.
what new tracks have maybe trending at the moment that we can maybe slot in.
Yeah.
But the sets go in like waves.
Okay.
So you'll notice that there's parts of the records where there's got to be loads of space because I need the space to play.
Yeah.
So excuse me, you wait for me. Wait for me to play.
Okay. So the way those sets are engineered are constantly updated, elevated.
Yeah. So so it's not a good question for a couple to ask to see a band's set list then?
We can, yeah. So
do you know what? Actually, I'm going to butt in here. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, it's fine.
Your processes are so slick. Like,
yeah.
Whenever I speak to you guys for a client or for me or whatever it is, it's like, here, the communication fire first and foremost. Yeah. And like, I hate waiting. I'm not a patient person.
Do you know what that was? So when we set the company up, we looked at external brands.
Yeah.
Around
sneaky.
What? Yeah. Not in music. Okay. Literally, I like to have a bit of a shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we looked at Selfridges and Harvey Nichols and Harrods and Zara and all these different, and looked at different prices. We thought we want to be the Harrods of the wedding. And with that you could buy some of the same products in all sorts of different places, but the experience that came with that purchase in that environment was it.
Yeah.
And that's where that came from. So client contact, we are always, I check it every day, 24 hours.
I bet they're sick of you. Like, why are you stopped sending us ghost emails?
He's on a podcast.
But it's so important because I think you can...
You judge quickly.
Big time.
But it's even so like, they'll send me something, they'll be like, we've got this option, this option, this option, and everything, every single option comes with a link to a video of what they're telling me that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So couples, they're just engaged. Music's important to them.
Yeah.
Do you think I say music weird?
No, not
she
at
does.
All.
Wait, say it again. Don't put any effort into it.
Music.
She says music. Music. Like moo, like music. A cat. Like music. Like M-E-W.
Love that.
Right, so couple are engaged there.
Yeah.
First thing I want to know, my question has several parts to it.
Yeah.
First part is, give me the different styles of music. So if I said I want a band, what are the different types of bands so that people listening can be like, I'm a Mumford and Sonsy kind of duo with a guitar. Like, give me the different types.
I would say kind of rustic, quite vintagey feel, like a Mumford and Sons, quite exposed.
Yeah, exposed like that,
You've got luxury kind of sheet where it's a bit more staged. So you've got, like if you look at our band, like our bands, we produce those and the music that sits underneath them is very... structured,
slick. And curated. So we got exposed, slick.
Yeah.
I feel like cheesy is an option. People like
cheesy.
Cheesy
is definitely an option. Yeah. And it's a little bit more unplanned. It's a little bit kind of, cheesy's cool.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got three. Number four would be...
interactive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that basically is taking it away from the stage space and going into the crowd.
Yeah.
Which I guess you could argue the DJ sax piece does do.
Yeah.
And then a fifth one, that is a really good question. You are testing my knowledge.
We got him.
Almost alternative, and I'll tell you why. Yeah. Because you can get, we try to take vocal, like maybe a Drake vocal, and turn it into some form of acoustic. That kind of twisted element makes it a fusion of different things. So alternative fusion would be another one where it's a little bit kind
out
of
there.
Out there
and
very different.
Yeah, I've done one where they only do 90s covers.
Yeah.
And like they wear t-shirts with Tetris on.
Exactly
like,
that. Cool. But it's so niche. And if you get somebody that loves it, you're not going anywhere else. That is a thing. But it probably picks up on a specific style of music.
Yeah.
Maybe does things in a little bit of a different way. So it maybe picks up 90s vocals.
Yeah.
And makes a thing of that. But just does it in a completely different way.
Yeah. I like that. I think five is a good, I feel like that then narrows people down.
Yeah.
Because we say this all the time. Not every wedding is the same. Like, this isn't even a sales thing of like use
it. No, it's not.
If you're not right for that person, please don't book that stuff. Don't copy the wedding.
I could not agree anymore.
Yeah.
The emotional side of a booking for a wedding, when you are spending £500, £1,000, doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
It just needs to be right based on what you want.
You're literally representing the couple.
Yeah. Like, it's not about the our brand. Our brand maybe gives people inspiration.
Yeah.
And people go, oh. But actually the booking process isn't about that at all. Mm. It's about people really thinking about what they want, not necessarily about what their guests want.
Yeah.
It's about what they...
Because I think people think there is a high-end band.
Yes.
And then there's just the lower end and they're just trying to work towards to be... Like, as a wedding band, I feel like they just think there's the high-end and then there's one trying to be that...
Yeah.
Band.
I actually don't... I'm not sure, entirely sure that's the case.
No.
I think there is a home for everybody. The challenge is how you emotionally connect with the right couple.
People, yeah.
And find them.
So
absolutely.
That was the secondary
That's
question.
A really interesting thing.
So they so they're listening, they now know which one they're in.
Yep.
Where the fuck do you go now? What do you do?
That's
what do you
really
type in?
Quick,
do you Google it? Do you speak to people? Do you go, oh, I saw that band at a wedding, they were all right.
I actually don't know the answer entirely to that, and I'll tell you why. I think we've been a little bit fortunate. The experiences that we deliver, I think people remember.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, it's like, do you put a lot into like your Google SEO for people to find you?
We never have.
And I feel like that's where that's how people can't find different bands.
This is why everybody ends up on the place that I'm not going to say.
Yes.
Because it's there. Like, if you're not like us and within the wedding industry, how the hell do you know where to go?
I couldn't agree more. And I think we... I've done it off rep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And ultimately, if you just look at the weddings that I've done, we give people a part of our soul in that 3-hour period, and people go away and they take that with them for a lifetime.
Yeah, I don't know how you're alive after the set you do.
I don't know, I'm still alive. I don't know how I'm alive 10 years later.
Oh, I feel tired for him.
Yeah. You know, so I think...
So what would your advice be?
I think... I mean, it's difficult with Instagram and do you know what? I said to you girls earlier, I think what you've done, and I'm not saying it because I'm on the podcast.
We paid him to say it.
Listening to genuine people with opinions that you've, with experience, you've had real world experience and listening to opinions of people and listening to as much as you can and engaging with podcasts like The Unfiltered Bride, I think is really important, because otherwise you are in the thick of Instagram searches, Google searches. I have no idea what comes up at the top of and what somebody's paid to put you there.
This is the problem. There's a payment behind the adverts of things.
It doesn't necessarily mean they're the best because they've paid the most on
and
Google.
I guess maybe what we can help people with is that they can get supplier recommendations, but the bit we're now teaching them is here's 5 different types of band. Speak to the band and say... What are you? Where do you give them the... If I said to you and had made up these 5 that we've just made up, you would know which one you are.
Absolutely.
You would say,
What one do you think they are?
So the noir band would be... I've forgotten all the ones. They're the slick one.
Yeah.
And then I would put you in that kind of alternative one a little bit when you want to do the IB3 kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then I would also put you in...
Interactive. Yeah.
So...
But my favourite thing about Noir was that they weren't interactive with me.
And it's emotional. Yeah. By that nature, you have one thought.
I'm watching them.
And you have another thought.
Yeah.
And that's the point. It's so personal. It's interesting how, honestly, I think if a couple can speak to companies where there is that genuine interest in you.
Yeah.
I think they're in, whether it's 615 or somebody in law or whoever, I think you'll generally be in the right place, because I think those people will turn around and say, we're not right, this isn't right, but this is the person that you should go and speak
100%.
To. And if you can get that transparency piece from the people that you're speaking to, that should be a good indication.
100%. And that only comes back to you anyway, because they recommend then in other mates that are getting married, they're like, oh yeah, 100%. No, well, we didn't go with these guys because it's not our style.
And that recommendation piece is actually a difficult thing to do, because if 615 was going to recommend somebody, I would hate it if we recommended and somebody said, who have you sent? Like,
welcome to our world.
Yeah. So when you said before about customer service, anybody that comes in touch with 615, such service is a big factor.
Yeah.
And if it's not that could, so being particular about who you're going to recommend yeah. is also important. Mm-hmm.
What's a red flag for couples that are looking at entertainment and music? What would you say if this person said this? I don't want it. I'm not involved.
If they... I think when they don't show any interest in going through the process that we...
Actually talking to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, okay. If they're just not interested in having the conversation, we just want music, we just want this, we just want that. And it's not... They don't want to delve a little bit deeper and it... They want it to be transactional, but we're like, we're not transactional.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That probably isn't the right
one.
Fit
yeah.
for us. And you know, if they probably want... there's a lot of wedding DJs that do great work, but they're a very different offering to what we are. And if yeah. as they're talking, they're probably showing signs that that's more suited. That's probably another where we turn around and go, listen, we can make recommendations here and here, but by what you're talking about,
save yourself some money, get down there, go to the cheaper DJ.
And that's also...
Go on, no, I know what she... I'm going to let her interrupt us because she's got a good question.
Is it the only thing I'm going to ask?
Yeah, I know what you're going to ask.
Have your DJs ever picked up a microphone and said, onto the dance floor, please, onto the dance floor, please. Keep it moving.
Absolutely.
That's my red flag.
Absolutely.
That's my red flag.
Not. The only time is first dance and last order.
Do you say it in like a cooler way? Because I feel like some DJs are like... Eyes on the prize. Slide,
right. No, we don't do any of those cheesy lines. Those cheesy lines are not a thing.
I feel like that should be the first question. When somebody says they want a DJ, you go, cool. Do you want us to make announcements? And if they go, yeah, go, okay, bye. Beep.
No, we don't do it.
No, thank you. But again, each their own. Some people are like, oh yeah, no, I like
some
it.
Some people
cool.
love that.
Like, fine.
And you, listen, there's that many weddings taking place all the time. Finding the right fit for
so important.
That is so important.
Yeah. That's I just don't think people grasp the power that they have as a couple.
Massive power.
The amount of stuff that they can say, there are so many options. Only book what it makes 1,000% sense for you. Fuck everybody else. It doesn't matter if your mum wouldn't have that DJ. That's okay, that's fine.
Completely fine.
It's your day.
Yeah.
So I have an important question for you.
Go on.
This is when she does that, it means it's not.
Are you married? That's important.
Oh, that is.
I'm not married.
Why not?
No, I feel like there was a butt coming. Wait.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no. I feel like I've jumped the gun.
Have you been married?
No, no.
You've never been married?
No. I'm not married.
Why not?
Why not?
I will be.
Are you engaged?
No, not yet.
Have you got a partner?
Yeah. Why are you acting shady?
I'm not acting shady.
He's just trying to play the
she's watching.
I'm just playing it cool.
Watching this like...
I'm just playing it cool.
What would your wedding be like? Explain your wedding.
Who would
because
you have at your wedding?
We...
Would you play at your wedding? Sorry.
No, I wouldn't. But my business partner did.
Did what? Play at his wedding. Wedding?
Played at his wedding.
Oh, I saw his wedding online.
Yeah, Tom played at his wedding. It went down really well. But no, we... Because I work in it, we always said we'd do a wedding abroad.
Boring.
Small numbers.
But you've spent a lot of time abroad, haven't you?
Yeah, small numbers, but probably make it just about the party, not necessarily all the formalities, and make a few days of it.
Okay.
With
would
a small
you do the whole
number
ceremony
of...
and...
Like, yeah, I think we would. Yeah. I think we'd do some formalities. But yeah, we do a few, but it'd definitely be abroad, smaller numbers, intimate, over a number of days, and curate
theme each. You guys are going to hate the word theme, but theme each event.
Yeah, curate each experience and take it on a journey.
Curate. You say curate as a theme.
It's a buzzword. But yeah, we'd do something like that and go somewhere that was quite personal. Tours. I think that's how we do it.
Can we come though?
Yeah.
Thanks.
He's like, yeah, right. You're not cool. You need to get cool.
I am cool. No, I think I am.
That's the whole point. If you think you're cool, you're definitely not cool. So one of my other things, I feel like I've got a long list of things I love about you guys. one of the other things I love is the production behind what you do. And again, it's all about, like you said, the show.
Yeah.
Why do you think people don't think about production? Do you do production at every booking you have? Is it like mandatory to have something?
We do. Mm-hmm. The reason why people don't think about it is because it's bloody boring. And I'll tell you why. Mm. A light is a light.
Yeah.
A speaker is a speaker. We think about what happens with it, and that's the difference. So when you look at, we work on factoring an element of production into every booking so that we know it's delivered in the way that the client wants it delivered, which is that ultimate experience. So it sounds great. It looks great. Yes, it can be customized, and there are different levels. But at the minimum, the entertainment concept booking will be booked with a minimum level of production.
That makes me so that happy.
I just feel like, I think a lot of couples assume that the production that is included in most wedding bands and DJ is part of it. And actually, the weddings you see on Instagram and stuff, there's a whole different team.
Big time.
I mean, you're lucky that you do them both together, but I think there is an assumption that entertainment brings that with them, and it's not true.
And there are operators that do that.
Yeah.
But when you start to delve into how you deliver these concepts in a really slick way, which is what you mentioned earlier, we need a production team because our knowledge in certain things is just not that. Like,
knowledge is the bit as well.
Our time is music, creative. How do we make that show pop? That's what we're bringing to the table.
Yeah.
Then our internal production teams are, how do we support that show from a technical perspective to make it pop?
Because couples, I think also, and I don't either, and you're probably a bit more knowledgeable than me, I don't understand it. If you tell me speakers, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you don't need to.
I think that's part of trusting who you book. So the wedding I did at the back end of last year, we had a lot of production.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, no, we're not too bothered. And I'm like, no, I'm going to show you it with and without.
Yeah.
And he was like,
I want it.
Well, he was a bit more like, that's cool. I like that.
It's definitely a guy thing.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, do you know what? Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
It's definitely a guy thing because when I just think technical gadgets and that, which effectively all of it is
to a point.
Mm. The guys tend to get it.
Yeah.
What I think females link with is the way it makes you feel when you are in that space. So when you are in the middle of the dance floor and it feels like a moment, that's what they buy into. And
we say with those moments that you have to stage those moments essentially, because the feelings don't just come. And I think people think they're like, oh, the feeling's going to be there. In some sense, you have to stage it.
It has to be set up for that moment.
We always stage it.
Yeah.
I know that there's certain tracks that play before we go on that get certain reactions on the dance floor. There's certain things that we do within our sets that certain things happen. That's experience.
You put the moment there. If they take it, they take it. If they don't, fine, cool.
But it's
the moment.
The opportunity is there.
But it's giving you. We do it where it's giving ourselves 99.9% probability that it will every single time, and that is an experience thing.
Yeah. It just hits. I like the hit.
Just hits.
What would be so? Couples again, potentially they're looking at bands. They're doing other things. What are the minimum requirements that they need to either be asking their band about for production wise or sourcing themselves? What would you say is like to get
always
that wedding looking good?
Some simple but effective lighting. So if you think some simple moving heads can be really, really effective.
You need to dumb this down.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think even I got moving heads though. They're lights.
Yeah.
And they're attached to those big, they look like speakers almost. They're
look like speakers.
Like stands.
So imagine some form of metal structure and these little blobs that are sort of stuck onto them.
Yeah.
They provide atmospheric lighting for a room. Otherwise, you're in a room and there's nothing there.
These are literally balls of colour moving around the room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Literally.
Yeah.
You know, uplighters.
I do know what an uplighter is.
You know what an uplighter is.
But for anyone that doesn't, light on the floor,
points up,
usually at the wall.
Yeah.
They're behind us now, if people are watching. There's uplit pink, and it does set
a mood.
Sexy.
Like this sets a mood.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Pink.
Okay.
What mood are you feeling?
What mood are you feeling?
I'm
feeling quite cool. This is why I think I'm cool, because I got a podcast.
But consider the lighting.
Okay, so bare minimum, they're going to want the lighting, they're going to want some uplighters and some moving heads.
Just some move, movement. In simple terms, some movement.
Movement of light.
Movement lighting.
And I'm just going to add in, because I work at a lot of marquees, we've got to be able to dim those lights.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bright can, is the...
Yeah, you want them to be able to dim down.
Yeah.
So always ask the question about who does that
yeah.
on the day, because what you don't want is it to expect it to happen...
And no one knows
and it yeah. just doesn't happen.
Do you always yeah. send a lighting tech?
Yeah. Yeah, so we will
people
always
think that
have...
is wild, don't they? Like, some people are like, I need someone to control
the most important thing.
And I'm like, mm-hmm.
Is it? Is If yeah, you could only take one bit of production, would it be lighting?
Well, you need sound. You need a combination
oh, you rely
of both.
Sound.
But if, budget-wise, you can stretch to have a tech, a technical guy
yeah.
that controls it all, or
yeah,
girl,
or girl. Guys,
on the night, it's the best money you will ever spend. I'll give you an example. I did a gig in France, outdoor, because it was a beautiful outdoor space. The production company were French, mm-hmm. And there was no guy looking after it. They did the speeches and all the music. The speakers went off, so the guy couldn't couldn't hear anything. Nobody could hear anything. But because the production company had plugged it into the kitchen, the water had shorted the fuse and everything went off. We've managed to fix it,
yeah.
but let me tell you, in
it's
the immediate, it was the most stressful thing on the planet. So it's something that you can't see, but things like that
so
are
it's,
really...
It's an insurance thing.
It's an insurance.
It is an insurance. Because I've done weddings, not to that scale, but as in the speeches, we're literally mid-speech, the microphone's gone.
Gone.
I'm then looking at the venue like, oh my God, help me. And just a little tip for anybody listening, if that happens, just keep talking without the microphone.
Just keep talking.
Because they stood and waited and I was like, keep talking.
Yeah.
We'll sort this out for maybe the next speech.
Well, it happened when we went to the National Wedding Show, didn't we?
Oh, yes.
And we did a talk.
Yeah.
And my mic went down. And then he looked at me and panicked, and we just shared our mic in between.
I carried on, you then passed it on, and then by the time we were doing that, they fixed that one and brought it over. So it is like, just keep it going, but if that's then it for the night, what are you doing?
And it's levels. Production, again, it's not something that a bride and groom necessarily understand,
yeah.
but when you, it will, whether it's small or big,
yeah.
it will change the dynamic of the feel. It's certainly for the party piece,
yeah.
it will change how that room feels. And lighting actually goes a long way to changing the look of a room. You can, when it goes dark outside and some simple uplight in a space can just change the way it looks. So all of a sudden you've got a daytime space that's very kind of...
Romantic and cool.
And the evening, the same space looks totally different.
Yeah.
So I think lighting's really important, whether it's just some really simple stuff or you go, you know...
Crazy. Yeah.
But... Some lighting. Simple lighting.
Teach us about sound.
Sound,
like
we...
dumb.
Right.
dumb.
So there's acoustic. Acoustic is no kind of speaker. It's just singing out loud and you might be playing an instrument, but like that's that.
So there's no speakers for
no
things
speakers
like that.
Okay. Take us from that right through to... What's a subwoofer? That's just the first
subwoofer
thing.
Subwoofer.
People
like
have them in their cars.
So you know when you feel like bass.
Yes.
When
you're like, when I can feel
that's
it in my
what
stomach.
Gives you the bass. Like when you feel it in your stomach, that's what gives the bass.
Okay.
So that's quite technical, you know. A subwoofer is quite technical.
She used to go out of boy races. That's probably. What
oh
she
really?
Never, I'm looking at Brian. I guess Brian. Did you have a subwoofer?
Brian had like a diamond earring.
He did have a diamond earring. It's because you used to beatbox, so I feel like that would be within that. But that is my extent of knowledge of speakers. So give us the basics.
You want it to sound great. I would always say, if you can, work with a professional.
Yeah.
Because you are paying for the knowledge of what somebody recommends.
Yeah.
But if you are in a big hall... That's a really difficult space to get acoustically right. So you maybe have some speakers at the front and then dot some speakers around the space so that you can hear it all the way through.
Yeah.
So I think try and speak to an expert if you can, if your budget allows. If it doesn't, just make sure that the outfit or the entertainment provider are factoring in some form of speaker system.
Is there a question you can ask again, I'm looking for red flags when I'm speaking to, we're on about this part where we're trying to get to know the supplier that we want to book.
Yeah.
Is there something you should be asking that then you can understand that they know what they're talking about?
Do they set up their own equipment?
Yeah.
Do they bring it themselves and will they pack it down? Those are the three things that you need to be asking anybody.
Yeah.
Will they set it up? Will they
provide it?
Provide it and look after and monitor it for the duration
monitor
of
it,
the
maybe
event.
That's the word. Yeah.
Monitor for the duration of the event. Ask them questions about things. What happens if the speaker goes off? Have we got a spare? Do they carry a spare? Is it, you know, simple things like that?
We're going to get emails from bands going, stop fucking telling people to ask this.
But it's important.
Yeah.
My biggest one is in marquees. If I'm working in a marquee without a sound and light and tech, I'm like, no.
It's because
it's a generator. Like, we've got generators, we've got power requirements, we've got all of this.
Yeah.
And you need an expert. Like, I can ring the generator company. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
It's the stress that it creates in the immediate moment when, as a planner or as a performer, something happens and it's like, who's responsible?
Everyone looks around like this. Like,
this is why it's my worst night. So I'm quite often there on the day, throughout the day. If the power goes, they look at me and I'm like,
I'm
just going to ring my dad because he used to be an electrician. Yeah. Like, that's it. That's why. Yeah. But I need to be able to say to a tech, that's you, bro. Step in.
If you can, if the budget allows, I would always recommend having an expert professional.
Yeah.
Dealing with production.
So if they say to you, you can add a sound tech or not, we're saying
I would
yes,
always
please.
Say yes, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about special effects?
I think they're great.
So lighting, must.
Yeah.
Sound, must.
Yeah.
We're now on to this special effects, which is nice to have. Does it fit in that?
I think it's a must.
Of course you do.
You think it's a must because it's sparkly and you love it.
So what fits into
special
effects?
I think it's a must. It creates that feeling.
It does.
I couldn't agree more.
It's those moments.
And if you think about what we're in this game for...
Moments.
That is what we're trying to create, moments.
And I think people are like, oh no, it's a waste of money. My guests won't like
appreciate it.
They're the bits they're going to go and be like, do you know what? That was insane.
Rank the special effects for us.
Yeah.
So I've got a bit of budget. I want your top to least important special effects.
I would say, I forgot the sparklers.
Cold sparks.
Sparklers, number one. They are something that's really... quite cost effective.
Yeah.
They can go in, the DJ can trigger them at the push of a button. So you do it with maybe a specific track.
Yeah.
So if it, a certain part of the track where
first
you
dance,
want.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we.
My favourite part, they told us to put our hands in it constantly, didn't they?
Yeah, they're like, it's cold for your element.
I'm
like,
oh,
like, try it.
Well,
try
I saw it go and there was a girl with a veil and I was like, but, and I was like, oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything.
So sparklers, what do you call them?
Cold sparks.
Cold sparks. Well, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. Dry ice.
Is that second on the list?
Yeah, second on the list. I don't know where we're going to go after this, number two. But dry ice is a good one for first dances.
So this is the mist that comes at the bottom
of
the
floor. Yeah, so it just sits over your ankles and creates like a cloud effect.
Yeah. Oh, that gives me...
For a picture.
Yeah.
It looks
I'm
really cool.
I'm a haze
cool.
girl.
Oh, so is haze third?
I'm a haze girl.
So what's the difference between dry ice and haze?
So dry ice is low.
Yeah.
You can... It's like a cloud.
Yeah.
Haze just is everywhere.
Haze is fog machine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's not...
No, so I'm dumbing it down.
Do not freaking insult me when I've got my...
Do you call it a fog machine?
Listening.
Haze.
What does it sound
like? My clients are listening and like, Beth, you've made me book a fog machine. All right, you know where I'm going to spend all that money on a fog machine.
Here's a fog machine though, isn't it?
Haze is perfect for like pin lights.
For lighting,
it gives you the lines.
It gives you the lines because it,
And for me, it's all about look.
Of course it is.
So from one to three,
cold sparks. Yeah.
Dry ice.
Yeah.
Haze.
Yeah.
But we've also forgot about
the CO2.
Oh, CO2 is a good one,
you know. I'd put that
above
haze if you like that though. Like,
no, see, I'd put haze above CO2.
Would you?
Yeah, because I mean, I liked the CO2.
See,
but I'd
put
some
CO2
point,
at number one.
Yeah, would you? Yeah, but you're a beach boy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the not cool one where I'm like,
I mean, that.
You really got knocked out by it.
That is the ultimate special effect.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
CO2.
You're allowed your opinion.
Yeah, but it's more suited to like a club environment.
I was going to say, explain CO2 to people before
it's
they
like
start booking
it. It's like these two massive cannons that probably sit over a DJ booth that's blast
air at you.
Air, like, really quick.
But why?
It's fun, isn't it?
But why? Just a fun Explain thing. The fun to, of that
how,
to me.
How do you feel about people doing CO2 guns?
I've seen it a couple of times.
Isn't that where you shoot a t-shirt from?
You can, yeah, it's the same thing.
They do it like behind the booth, but I'm just like, it's just not the right time. It's not the moment.
If you do it, you've just got to get it at the right time.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I get the CO2. It was fun though, I'm not going to lie, it was fun watching
other people. Why don't you like it?
I would pick all of the others above CO2 personally.
Well, you don't see it. You stood right in front of it.
I didn't know it was going off.
I was like, oh, God.
What the fuck is happening? There's an aeroplane in the air.
What's that program? Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging. You're like that girl that just gets like knocked out at everything.
No, I did enjoy it when it was happening. I just didn't... I don't know if it... But again, it's so nice to talk to someone about it, understand what it is, and then make my opinion on it.
Yeah.
I don't want CO2 at my wedding. I want the cold sparks.
What we established there is we... Different. All have different priorities, and it's just...
And isn't it nice? Isn't it nice that all the weddings would be
but
different?
But that... is what makes them different. Yeah. And like I said, you know, going through a process with a professional, whether it's a planner, an entertainment curator, or whatever that is, that's going to take you through that journey, should ensure that you get the right outcome.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Love it.
This is... You look cheeky.
I know,
what
I feel cheeky.
Look cheeky.
Tell us some stories. Give us some... What's the worst thing you've ever been to? We want the juice of like shit that goes wrong.
Oh.
Give us like the worst thing you've ever seen at a wedding.
Or just some wild stories.
Yeah. You must see the wildest of it.
You get the good bits.
The worst, I'm going to have a think about this for a second. This is a good one. So this is a really random thing. Have you ever been to Bongo's Bingo?
Yeah. Yes.
I did a wedding that booked Bongo's Bingo.
Great. Love that.
Did it work?
Have you seen the prizes?
Yeah.
Yeah. I almost won an air fryer.
When people win these prizes at a wedding, they feature all night. So one of the prizes was a helmet.
Yeah.
Like a Vespa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Motorcycle helmet. The guy wore it all night. One of the prizes was a horse. Have you seen like those... It was like a horse that was, that people actually, honestly.
Oh, and you bounced up and down like
yeah. And it was on the dance floor all night.
I really want to see the pictures from this wedding.
I haven't got any pictures. It's all in here.
That's so funny.
Yeah, there
Get
was
rid
some,
of the dance floor
a Henry Hoover. Honestly.
Shit, the budget that went into that then.
Honestly.
The prizes.
Mental.
That, I love that.
The prizes were a consistent feature on the dance floor.
I love that.
And I've get never seen anything
sticks,
like it.
Get rid of the get rid of all of the sunglasses.
Fuck the CO2, Henry, I want a Henry.
Hoover. Cycle helmet, you name it.
How fun.
Do you ever have to get involved at the end when people are drunk and stupid and there's fights and there's crying bridesmaids and there's...
Them.
Do you ignore them? Do you just let them get on with it?
I want to get involved.
Yeah.
Do you ever leave like people lying there sleeping like at the venues and you're just like, see you later?
I've seen that before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Are you high maintenance? With
in
like
what way?
He's literally just smiling at all you.
Or like what you need as a
brand. No. As a...
I disagree. We got the list that was as long as my arm
was
probably
it? Slot. Was it?
You're joking. Mm. Not for...
You.
Was it Noir?
Was it the band?
Was it
Noir?
Noir.
Sound like they've got a
Noir,
rider.
Noir, yeah.
Was it Noir?
No, it wasn't even bad at all. They were so chill.
Okay, good.
No, they literally asked for food. And he was like, please can I have some chips? I was like, okay, that's what
we So we, from experience, we have come from Club World. We do a lot of private events, all sorts of things. I've seen it when artists can be really particular. I just think it's an off-put.
Yeah,
As a brand, we keep it real.
Yeah.
Yes, people pay for the crib, but we keep it real. We don't charge people for silly riders and bits and pieces. At the end of the
like,
we
just
go
want a bit of food, somewhere to be, get changed, drinks?
No,
do
just
you,
waters.
Do you drink alcohol on a wedding day?
Do you not? Mm. Is that like a rule across what you do or is
not
it something
always.
Do?
Like, I have had a beer. On
oh, have you?
Not a beer.
Push the boat. But generally speaking, no, we keep it.
Chill.
Is, why is that?
I think more a professional point of view. I think we have definitely had it. When we first started the company, there was a couple of things that we, as young thought was fine, and then it just wasn't fine.
Yeah.
So you learn quite quickly from certain things, but you've got to go through that to know that it. One of the things that I did was I took a friend of mine as a, like, when I first started doing weddings, I would never take anybody to a gig, ever. But there was one time, this is 10 years ago.
Yeah. We won't judge you, don't worry.
Yeah, I took somebody with me, thinking, oh, I'll be fine, don't worry about it. They knew and hated her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, you took a girl?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Daniel!
Honey.
No, and Daniel was trying to kill her.
Come watch this, babe, I play sax.
But that backfired, so it's things like that.
You learn.
And you learn very quickly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And since that was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Did that last, the thing with the girl?
No.
She was like,
not at all. But, yeah, you know, alcohol, like, is just a no-go.
Yeah.
It can go somewhere that it doesn't need to go. Yeah. So we just don't
and
do
again,
it.
And again, like, I've paid you to be there.
It's about being professional.
You, yeah.
What somebody thinks is...
A couple of beers is different. Like,
listen,
one or two.
What somebody thinks is acceptable, somebody else will not think is acceptable. And there will be a bride and groom in there that doesn't think anything of it. But let me tell you, there'll also be the people that think, well, what are you doing?
Drinking
at my wedding?
Yeah, for sure.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
So we just don't do it.
I like that.
Why do you don't want to open yourself up to?
No, I also get drunk from one drink, so that wouldn't be great.
I have another question.
Go on then.
Sorry, Brian.
I'm also a big lightweight.
Yeah. Like, I'll have one, and they're like, "Oh, I'll have a prosecco with us in the morning," and I'm like, "Mate, if you want me to finish your wedding, I'm not drinking anything."
Yeah.
Big lightweight.
So one of your biggest things is like the energy you bring.
Yeah.
When did that start and why did it start? And does everybody, so if they don't have you, so if they don't have Dax and you have someone else playing the sax, do they get that?
To a point, but we very much probably sit within me and...
Yeah.
Because you do tiers, don't you?
Yeah.
So you've got, for every, like,
it's a very much a me thing.
Yeah.
Probably because it's quite difficult to play whilst doing
I get
that.
Out of breath, Jesus. Yeah.
And also, you'll never find someone with the same passion.
It's
that
a very
you have.
Personal thing.
Yeah.
Does that mean we can't work with great artists and different people? Mm. We definitely don't want to create morphs of that's my USP.
Yeah. Yep.
And for some people, that's also they don't want that either. Like when we're talking about profiling with client, like if you want the ultimate energy, you won't find it anywhere else. But it's not for everybody because it's a lot.
Yeah.
You saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot.
I was honestly tired watching you.
Where did it start? We used to work, I don't know if you know it actually, do you remember a venue called Neighbourhood?
Yeah.
In Manchester?
Mm-hmm. You're not pretending to be cool.
No, you're not cool.
I know I'm not cool. I don't know what Neighbourhood is.
Your problem is,
I have no problem.
No shade at all. You had a child very young.
I did.
So you didn't like...
I might have taken it to Neighbourhood.
So you went.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you remember in the middle of that space, there was a big central stage above, right in the middle of the room. You were probably very drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Manchester's always a good night out.
Yeah. But it needed energy and it needed, and it kind of came from there. I was in front of a lot of people. I was very young, new to doing it at the time.
What did you do? Just be like, I'm going to do it.
Just kind of. But I always felt like I wanted to be centre of attention when I do it. So there is an alter ego that flicks in, bang, before
Dax
I play.
This, I'll be honest, this is not what I was expecting. Like, from seeing you there...
There is a different person.
I was like, how are we going to keep this conversation... Like, I don't even know how to explain it. How are we going to keep this...
What do you think he was going to be doing? Jumping around?
No, but I just...
Bouncing
I didn't.
On the chair! Woo!
No, but I didn't... I don't know how to word this without sounding like I'm being rude about either alter ego, but there's an intelligence
person.
And a thing here that holds a conversation versus the fucking nuts man on the night.
And that comes in, I have to 5 minutes before that performance, it literally goes click.
Yeah.
And you've got to send yourself to that place to do that.
Because the conversations we had on the night were like, whoa, that's amazing. yeah, cool. See you later, cool, nice to meet you, bye. Yeah, and I was like, yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but you were saying that earlier though, that we switch on when we need to switch. Like you were saying about a job you've got and you'd like, you'd switch on like that.
Yeah.
But that's a professionalism thing.
Yeah, I agree.
And you have to put, but you change for different, like we change for different clients.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
And you have to do that.
You know what you can get away, not get away with, but I know how I can act with some clients. I know how much your alcohol one is probably my level of swearing.
Yeah.
I know the ones that are expecting me to swear and have banter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the other ones that aren't.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
And that's fine.
You tell me what you want.
More than fine, yeah. But it, like, that was, I knew I needed to deliver something in that venue all those years back. It had to be energy, energy. It was the busiest venue in Manchester at the time. Yeah. Everybody wanted to be there. And it just kind of
developed. How did you feel after?
Great.
Buzzing.
Yeah. And you like,
and I always, and I still do, even after now, I still feel the same buzz.
I am picturing you coming off that stage in the back and the manager going, thank you, Daniel. And you going, it's Dax.
Literally, there's Daniel and there's Dax.
Yeah. CO2 cannon, boom.
Yeah, bang.
But I think we went over it quickly, though, that you have the tiers, don't you? So 6-15 have different levels of the performers, essentially. So yeah, how much
people,
energy.
And I think people are paying for maybe experience and all those different things. And there are different levels of experience. Mm-hmm. And that is just...
And that reflects in the price.
And that reflects in the price.
But at 6.15, you still get the process, you still get the booking.
The customer service is non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's certain, as a premium brand, there's certain brand values that are really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the customer service piece doesn't matter almost where we end, but if you've got a passion for music and you want to
do that,
care about that journey on the day musically, that's what that...
Yeah.
Because I do think if you have bad customer service, it doesn't matter how good you are.
Yeah, because I'm pissed off.
So I'm literally like, are you going to turn up on the day?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Completely switched off.
Yeah.
Won't go back.
Yeah, yeah.
And would tell.
And I wouldn't tell anyone else.
Yeah, but you'd also tell people how bad it was.
Yeah, I agree.
Completely.
People will quicker talk about how bad you've been than
how
good you've been. I would like to end on a final question.
Okay.
If you can give couples like one piece of advice for their entire wedding planning process, what would you tell them?
Focus on one or two priorities, deliver them really well, and then think about all the other areas after. So focus on one or two things that mean a lot to you, whether it's a venue, whether it's entertainment, whether it's whatever, you know, you'll deliver those things that mean a lot to you really well.
And
even if it means you don't have budget for the other things and you do without, but do what you want to do really well instead of spreading yourself too thin.
I love that. I'm glad that that fits in with the ethos of this. Imagine you like spread yourself really thinly, copy every wedding you see.
You do you.
Yeah. Dax, thank you so much for coming on.
No, thank you.
Can you just tell people where they can follow you, where they can find you, and how to see everything that you're doing?
Yeah, so you can follow 6.15 at 6.15 underscore on Instagram.
Which type is into
six letters, like
SIX15 underscore. Types on Facebook, Google, and you can find us on there.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.